Hi, this is Bill Lindeke for the Streets.mn podcast, conversations about transportation, public space, and urban design in Minnesota. The podcast this week is a conversation with Russ Stark, the city council member for St. Paul's 4th Ward, which covers the northwest stretch of the city, all the way from Hamlin Midway to St. Anthony Park. In addition to being on the city council, though, Russ Stark represents St. Paul on the Met Council's Transportation Advisory Board, or TAB, a rather complex committee composed of elected officials, engineers, and appointees that make recommendations on federal funding applications in the Twin Cities. Stark was one of the key voices pushing for a change to TAB decision-making processes this summer, changes focused on using transportation funding to help balance regional inequality around race and class. They were a little bit controversial, so we sat down during last month's Railvolution conference in downtown Minneapolis to talk about the funding formula, the TAB in general, and the debate around transportation funding in the Twin Cities. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Before I play the tape, though, please consider helping out with our Streets.mn fundraising campaign for better podcast equipment. I could really use your help to purchase a few more things that might make these podcasts a bit easier to listen to. We haven't gotten a lot of donations so far, so I believe this podcast is a valuable service, providing information that you can't find anywhere else about transportation policy, especially city elections. There were lots of interviews with people running for office. And then, of course, all the other topics that you'll find here. So it'd be great if you could help out with some of the costs in producing the podcast. I really would appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. You can go to streets.mn on our website's front page and click on the blue join button. And then you become a member of Streets.mn, which is cool. So just go ahead and do it. It's not the worst thing you'll do in your day. It's probably one of the better ones. Anyway, thanks for listening and thanks for your support.
There's a program called Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality, and the most recent federal bill made fewer pots than there used to be, give a little bit more flexibility in terms of transportation dollars could be spent on transit versus roads, a little bit more flexible there, but actually shrunk the overall amount of federal money that regions are getting a little bit, unfortunately. But there's been a lot of discussion at the TAB, which is the Transportation Advisory Board of the Met Council. The TAB is made up of both local elected officials and people from around the region who are appointed by the Met Council to represent geographies within the region to essentially allocate those federal dollars. So every 2 years there's a regional solicitation where cities and counties and Metro Transit and others can apply for these federal dollars through a big solicitation process. There's a bunch of city and county engineers who score those projects based on a scoring system that's created off of a set of criteria about which projects the region's trying to fund. For the first time since that system was set up about 20 years ago, the TAB decided to completely redo that regional solicitation from scratch a couple of years ago. So we just wrapped up that process with a big vote last week and made some pretty significant changes in terms of the criteria by which we are going to decide which of those local projects get funded with federal money.
So the scoring system, it's how does a process like that go? What kind of things get scored, like categories, broad categories? And so you get points, right, for different things, right? Is that how it is?
Right. So you get points for things like how many people are going to use the facility. So usage is a big thing. Its significance in the regional economy, meaning it's going to connect a big population of people to a major job center, or it's going to connect a couple of different job centers. Things like safety, the new component that we ended up adding this year that had never really been a significant game changer before was some points for equity. In the previous solicitation, there was a few points for the creation of new affordable housing units. But because of the way it was measured, it really wasn't a difference maker at all. And so there were points there, but it wasn't having any impact on which projects were getting funded. So the desire was to have regional equity issues around whether the project's going to serve low-income communities and communities of color in particular, as well as people, large populations of seniors, people with disabilities, be a difference maker in determining which local projects get funded with federal transportation dollars.
Okay, so let's use an example of this, because I know, so let's say suburb A or city A, we should just say city A has very little affordable, no, very little low-income population, and city B has a lot, or concentrated low-income population. In the previous formula, that really wouldn't have mattered much for looking at it, and now it might.
Yeah, now, so the thing that we just adopted last week on a very close vote at the TAB will give points for equity in a couple different ways. One is something called the Housing Performance Score, and the Met Council's been creating these housing performance scores for cities and counties in the region for many years. It's not a perfect system, but as opposed to just simply looking at the number of affordable units produced in that community the previous year, the performance score takes into consideration more factors in terms of the practicality of building new units. It also gives cities credit for maintaining existing units and other things, so it's not so it's a little bit more of a nuanced look. So that's part of where you can get points for equity. The other part is based on the new maps that the Met Council's come up with around regional equity that identify where the regionally concentrated, racially concentrated areas of poverty are in the region, as well as the other concentrated areas of poverty.
Where are they, by the way? I'm kind of curious if you were to just sort of vaguely gesture at where these areas are.
So the RCAPs, or racially concentrated areas of poverty, are, I would say a majority of those are in Minneapolis and St. Paul. There are also pockets in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, and Richfield, and a little bit in a couple of the other first-ring communities. That map is changing pretty dramatically over time, though, so that the map of using similar measures from 20 years ago had much smaller areas of our region looking like racially concentrated areas of poverty.
Is that good or bad that's shifting, that sort of geographic sort of landscape?
Overall, it's clearly a bad thing. You don't want to have concentrated areas of poverty, particularly areas where folks of color are concentrated and there's a sense of sort of housing of last resort, or communities that those folks are not able to live in other parts of the region. How you change that is the question. And so this funding formula is one of the ways in which the Met Council and some of us in the TAB believe that we can start to change that by making sure that we're investing in those communities with transportation infrastructure that will connect them to jobs and serve them well from a transit perspective, as well as bicycles and pedestrian amenities and even roadways.
So what was the conversation like in the TAB about this and in the Met Council? Because they both had to pass it, is that right? Anyway, what were the different arguments? You know, what was the argument you were making, or the city of St. Paul was making?
There was a pretty contentious debate, I would say, around this issue. The remaining issues that we debated in terms of the regional solicitation overall went fairly smoothly. There was a decent amount of consensus overall. The region has a history of divvying up this federal money fairly evenly to the cities and the suburbs, the various counties. So sort of regional equity from a geographic perspective has been a longstanding value. And part of that is just making sure that none of the counties feel like they're being cheated in terms of the actual dollars going into those counties. So part of the debate was some of the outlying suburban counties arguing that this change was going to make them less able to receive these federal funds. And part of the argument that I made was that, in fact, if you look at the last 20 years in terms of projects that have been funded by the previous solicitation, on the transit side, for example, we've actually been funding a lot of projects in the suburbs. I would say it's been tilted towards suburban park and ride projects and the increase of suburban express bus routes in terms of the where these federal monies have been going, as well as with roadways, because it's in the suburbs where, generally speaking, roadways have been expanded and widened. Most of those projects have been out in the outlying areas as well. And so to me, this change is one way of sort of rebalancing what we've been doing the last 20 years. I also made the case that because the TAB is a regional body of 33 people representing the region very broadly, if this formula actually spits out a set of projects that is completely skewed toward the cities, that body will never vote to approve it. And so I tried to make the case that this is a change that will affect maybe that last project or two that gets funded. So it's a change that will have an impact, but not such a huge impact that suddenly all of the money that we receive in the region is going to go from being spread around the region to just being spent in Minneapolis and St. Paul. It'll be around the margins, and I think it will really help some of those communities that need the investment most.
But that was the concern, I think, or from what I was reading, about from the commissioners or people on the board who voted against the idea, was that all the investment would go to just the center cities or these places that have the racially concentrated areas of poverty, and not to like Mendota Heights, where I grew up. So is that the idea? Was that the argument?
That was the argument, and I tried to argue that. In fact, the housing performance score, which is one of the main things that we're going to be looking at, a lot of these outlying communities actually do very well. Some of the Blaines and the Brooklyn Parks and the Lakevilles of the world actually score pretty well with regard to how they treat affordable housing. So they can actually get a lot of those points. They can't get some of the points around the concentrated areas of poverty. But there are communities like St. Paul where we've got poorer areas and less poor areas. And the thing that it might do in St. Paul would be to focus our attention on the projects that are needed in those poorer areas as opposed to the projects that are needed in other parts of the community. So it's not just about sort of equity within the region. It's even about equity within communities like St. Paul and some of the larger communities in our region.
I'm all for having more investment in the west side in Ward 2.
In the west side in particular?
Yeah, in Ward 2.
Well, I'm sure there will be some opportunities for that as well, Bill.
Okay. what do you think that this if this formula had been in place, would it have changed the conversation around how we've invested in transit in the Met Council area over the last 5-10 years? Like, what would we have made the same decisions? I'm kind of curious if you would do a thought experiment about that.
I think over the last 20 years it would have been different. This current Met Council has already been making changes, starting to focus resources on things like the arterial bus rapid transit corridors, which was designed to really focus some of their transit dollars back into the core cities where people are already riding transit, making sure that they actually have a quality transit experience, as opposed to, I think I used the word Taj Mahal to refer to some of the fancy new park and ride facilities in some of the suburban communities where people are waiting in climate controlled conditions with some amenities versus a typical bus stop in Minneapolis or St. Paul. Maybe there's a shelter. Along the higher ridership corridors there probably are, but lots of bus routes where people are waiting in the elements and have been for a really long time in pretty lousy conditions, and that's really inequitable. We should be doing things to draw new transit riders into the system who aren't transit riders today. But we really should make sure that the current transit riders, especially the transit dependent, have a really good service that's going to get them to where they need to go safely.
Great. So I look forward to seeing what this formula spits out. It's kind of funny. It seems like almost like a robotic system because the formula it seems very depersonalized. But I suppose that's how it has to be when you're making decisions like this, because you don't want it to be personal. You don't want it to turn into a who's got the most votes in the back room sort of Chicago-style politics sort of thing. You want it to be objective as you can make it, I suppose.
Yeah, I think the idea is to depoliticize the actual process when it comes down to project by project. But the TAB is going to have a little bit more flexibility there. We created some ranges for each mode. So we looked at sort of the historical levels of funding for roadway projects versus transit versus bicycle and pedestrian. And we created these ranges of funding. So there actually will be some debate and some of that politics playing out in terms of which projects get funded and which don't. Maybe a little bit more so than there was in the past. But it also makes it less formulaic. I made the argument at the most recent meeting where we had the big vote that the technical details matter a lot in terms of where's the congestion, where are the safety issues, where are people actually using the system. But technical answers can also, purely technical answers can also lead to bad results. And the example I gave was the location of I-94. I think that location was chosen for technical reasons. It was the cheapest land was available in some of the communities of color, the Rondo community in particular. And so the technical result was not the best solution. And that's the political result isn't necessarily either. But at least you've got folks around the table having to debate the issue and make a collective decision, as opposed to just spitting out a purely technical answer.
How have you been enjoying the conference so far?
The conference has been really interesting. It's my fifth or sixth time at this particular conference, but there's a lot of new information coming out of communities because there's so much growth in new transitways around the country, so it's been really interesting for me.
Do people seem to like what's happening here in St. Paul and in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories of people being really impressed with how much progress we've made in the last few years. People are commenting about the slowness of the Green Line, but I think for those of us who are local, it was never going to be fast. It's really about that 2-3-4 mile trip along that corridor, not the end-to-end trip. So it's been fun to see people's perspectives on the work we've been doing. And a lot of people from regions that we previously really admired now admiring what we're doing here in the Twin Cities. So that's been fun.
Great. Well, thanks, Russ. That's about all I got for you. What are you doing next?
What am I doing next? I'm not sure. It's been a busy couple of days of the hard part about being at a conference that's local here in town is that I keep getting pulled away for work stuff in my council role. I had a big council meeting tomorrow. So,
what's on the agenda for tomorrow?
We're actually approving the max levy for the 2015 budget year tomorrow. So
that's the big kahuna.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck with it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the Streets.mn podcast. Again, please consider donating to Streets.mn if you appreciate this podcast and would like to see it improved in the future. I have a bunch of great podcasts coming up over the next few weeks, including a conversation with Alex Giacchini and a conversation with Joe Scott, both of whom are writers for Streets.mn, interesting people to talk to. So I'm going to keep asking you for help supporting this work, and I appreciate that. So long from downtown Minneapolis.
Your umbrellas is upside down. Trade them.